McCoy. I'm a professional land surveyor with Davis, Bowen, and Friedel. In light of how late it is, I will try to keep things brief. And again, it's a small subdivision. How much can I say? It shouldn't take very long. We're looking at, as Mr. Lang said, an 8.16-acre site with eight lots. It has a density of 0.98 units per acre. The lots are 3/4 acre minimum, and all of the lots are very close to that. It's very, very slight. The largest lot is very slightly larger than that. We have a minimum building height of 42 feet, and the site will have individual on-site septic and wells. The deed restrictions that we submitted do state that the minimum building size shall be 1,400 square feet plus two-car garage, and there will be no mobile homes permitted on the site. The project fits well within the surrounding area. If you look just to the north and bounding to the north of this site, you have another subdivision with lots that are just a little bit smaller than ours. That's Edgewood Manor, just to the north. And if you look across Omar Road to the south, you'll see behind the lots that front on Omar Road, you'll see Hidden Acres, which is a, I'm not quite sure how many lots are there, but judging from the tax map, it looks like it's got about 100 lots or so in there. So it looks like it would fit in very well with the surrounding area. We're proposing an infiltration trench for stormwater management, and that's along the eastern edge of the property. It's also the low point on the property, so it's the logical place for it. And the Homeowners Association will maintain that infiltration trench. When we submitted, we did request a waiver for the buffer along that side where the infiltration basin is. Because that's where the buffer, that's where the basin, the trench needed to go. We do have a forested buffer on the west side against the Urquhart property. It's a 30-foot wooded buffer against that agricultural land. That wooded buffer is already there. It's already a wooded strip along that side, and it's 30 or more feet in width. So depending on the nature of the woods, if there's a lot of mature trees, I haven't actually been there to inspect it and find out just the nature of the woods, but it would appear probably that that would serve as our buffer as is. I mentioned that we had requested a waiver for the buffer on the east side. The 6-acre parcel that it is the Wingate property. I also understand, it's come to my attention, that that property is being transferred to the Millville Fire Company and will cease to be agricultural in nature. So another reason for not needing a buffer on that side. The street, the cul-de-sac that goes down the center of the parcel, Hannah Drive, is to be a private road. It will be built to county standards. It's a cul-de-sac approximately 700 feet in length, and it will have side swales, which will then drain into other swales, which then go back to the infiltration trench. And if I can, I'll walk over to the drawing, and I'll show you a couple of the areas that I'm talking about, just so you understand where we are. This is the Urquhart property on the west side. We have this 30-foot forested buffer, and the existing woods line starts right here and goes all the way along that buffer and cuts across the property then, sure, like so. So the entire buffer, as I said, is already wooded. Edgewood Manor, I said there was a subdivision right to the north. That's this one right here. Proceeds on up about another 1,000 feet or so. And forgot the name of the other one. Hidden Acres, that's what it was. Is the entrance to Hidden Acres is right here, and it goes behind the lots that front on Omar and is immediately adjacent to the site. The infiltration basin is along this side behind these two lots. It's not part of the lots. It's in open space. There's no easement required for it. It's It's strictly an infiltration trench. It will be designed to handle the 100-year storm. And as I said, Hannah Drive is approximately 700 feet long, a cul-de-sac that will be built to county standards. You'll note on the drawing that it states that the owners of the land are James H. and Dorothy M. Bailey. Sadly, Reverend Bailey died about 5 months ago. Mrs. Bailey is the sole owner at this time. It was Reverend Bailey's desire to see this subdivision come to fruition. He has a great-grandson who would very much like to build a house, and this is where he is planning on building his house. And I understand a couple of other family members would also like to locate in this particular subdivision. So two or three of the eight lots could very well be his very family living there. So that's about all I can tell you. This very small subdivision doesn't have a whole lot to talk about, but I'd certainly be glad to answer any questions.
Well, we'll see if anyone has any. Let's see. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. McCoy, you did a good job.
Thank you.
Question for you. How does the water from the roadway get over to the infiltration trench?
We anticipate our low spot in the road being back toward the cul-de-sac, and we have this open space right through here, which we'll have a ditch that goes from the road back to the infiltration basin. In addition, some of the water will shed back to the southeast corner. We anticipate having a ditch coming across this open space strip all the way to the other end of the infiltration trench. So the water would then come in from both sides and settle in the trench.
Thank you. No other questions.
Answer, thank you. Mr. Gordy, no questions.
No questions.
Mr. Lang.
Statement, if the property to be conveyed to the fire company is not in agriculture use, it doesn't require a buffer.
Okay.
But the other side, the agriculture, it will require a buffer.
Yeah, that looks like that's on there.
And he's got it on there. So
yeah, we're good.
And
yeah.
The lots around it on the rest of the north and the east are lots within the subdivision.
Okay. Mr. Gauss?
Robertson, no questions.
All righty. Appreciate it, Mr. McCoy. We'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-76, James H. and Dorothy M. Bailey? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-76? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2005-77, Chesapeake Construction.
Chesapeake Construction is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Seaford 100, Sussex County, dividing 13.01 acres into 13 lots. Also requesting a variance from the maximum allowed cul-de-sac length of 1,000 feet, being located west of Road 535 and as an extension to Foxtail Drive in Clearbrook Acres. This application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee on May 24th of 2006. Restrictive covenants were received on October 4th of 2006. Revised plans were received on October 18th of 2006, but they had one lot too many. The original plan submitted and advertised is for 13 lots. So we're going to look at the plan that we were submitted for the public hearing, not the 14. That's all I have, gentlemen.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Good evening. My name is John Murray. I'm a project manager with Kurtzer Engineering, located here at 413 East Market Street in Georgetown. Here tonight with me is Pat Mitchell, also a project manager with Kurtzer Engineering, and the property owner, Mr. Steve Marvel, with Chesapeake Construction. As was mentioned, the original application for this project was for a 13-lot subdivision located on 13.01 acres adjacent to the Indian Village subdivision, the original Clearbrook Acres subdivision, off of Middleford Road. Since the advertisement was made for the subdivision last week, we had submitted plans, resubmitted copies of this plan with 14 lots, and not the 13 as was originally submitted. I don't know if it was mentioned in the covenants and restrictions that it mentions 13.
It advertises 13.
Advertises 13. The other correction we just wanted to make was we had done measurements for the cul-de-sac length as mentioned. The measurement that we have from as surveyed from the point where the proposed subdivision road would meet Foxtail Court, which is utilized by the Clearbrook Acres one, I'll call it, subdivision. From that point to the end of the cul-de-sac is 982 feet is the measurement we have by survey. So we're not exactly sure if the 1,000-foot cul-de-sac length variance would apply in this for this particular application, but it's worth mentioning.
Well, you're a surveyor, right?
982.
I'm not a surveyor myself, but it's 982 feet.
982. So the law's 1,000. What do you think?
I'm just bringing that up. It was in the it was advertised that way, so I just wanted to kind of give a little bit of clarification.
You're on the ball. Proceed.
As mentioned, the subdivision we're proposing, it has 14 single-family lot subdivisions, all minimum three-quarter acre. That's worth mentioning in that the original Clearbrook Acres subdivision and the adjacent Indian Village subdivision are all half-acre lots, half-acre minimum lots. The road that is proposed in the subdivision, as mentioned, is 982 feet long and would be designed to county standards. All lots within the subdivision would be utilizing individual lot wells, individual lot septic systems. On September 19th, 2005, a septic feasibility report was provided to Deneract by Coastal Soils. The non-binding feasibility letter was obtained by Deneract in a document dated September 22nd, 2005. We also had the client contract JCM Environmental, Jim McCulley, who was mentioned earlier this evening on another application. JCM Environmental did visit the site. They performed a wetlands investigation. The results of their investigation found that there were no federal or state jurisdictional wetlands on the property. We also, based on the favorable results of the feasibility study for the septic systems, also had JCM Environmental visit the site to provide some preliminary reconnaissance borings on stormwater management due to originally what would appear to be a difficult project to manage in the way of stormwater outfall. Those results were also favorable. The stormwater management area as shown on the plan, if I may, is located between lot 9 and lot 10. We have approximately 16,000, just over 16,000 square foot area which would be used for the stormwater management for the site. We have also had meetings with the Delaware Department of Transportation, and they're currently evaluating the existing entrance that was designed to DLDOT standards and specifications for the Clearbrook Acres 1 subdivision as to whether or not improvements will have to be made for this the proposed subdivision, if approved, to use their entrance. As mentioned, it was designed and built to DLDOT specifications. There is an existing deceleration lane. So we're just not exactly sure at this point. We're waiting for DLDOT to give word as to whether or not improvements will have to be made. The site, as you can see now, there's a woods line depicted on the plan that was surveyed in the field. There's only three lots, lots 7, 8, and 9, at the westernmost portion of the subdivision that would be impacted by any sort of wood clearing. Lot 9 is approximately half wooded, so there is a usable area to place a septic without having to clear trees. There would have to be some minor clearing up at the front of that parcel in order to make room for a building footprint. And of course, Lot 7 and Lot 8 would need, an estimation, probably 50% of the lot would more than likely have to be cleared in order to make room for a dwelling and for a septic system. Also should be mentioned to the western portion of the property, the line that's shared with the adjacent property of the west is also a subdivision known as Whitetail Crossing, which 3 months ago was granted preliminary approval by the commission. Copies of the covenants and restrictions were submitted for review, as was mentioned. Those covenants and restrictions are similar to the Clearbrook 1 acre subdivision, which was also developed by Mr. Marvel. The minimum square footage proposed for a single story is 1,300 square feet. For a 1.5 to 2 story dwelling, would be 1,900 square feet. All the homes are proposed to be stick-built only. It's also worth mentioning that the minimum county requirement for a front setback and what's shown on the plan is actually a 30-foot setback, but as you'll notice in the covenants restrictions, it actually mentions that a 40-foot setback is proposed for the subdivision. That's all that I have. If you have any questions, I'm here, or if I can answer them, the property owner's here.
All right, sir, thank you. We'll see if anybody has any questions for you. Mr. Gordy.
Do you have a septic feasibility?
Yes, we do.
You do have that?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have a copy of it?
No. I just looked.
So question, this is a part of Clearbrook Acres, or it's just another phase?
It's not part of it. In other words, it wasn't part of that site plan that they're amending.
Okay, so they don't have to have the 51%. Mm-hmm.
We can get another copy from Denrex. That's our file copy, but we can get another copy.
We can make a copy too. So are we looking for a variance for the cul-de-sac, or we don't need it?
Not by the measurements that we have.
Okay.
You said it was 982, the regulations of the south, so.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that
it's late at it.
It's late.
And we're all alone too.
That's all the questions I have. I don't.
I'm just messing with you.
No,
Mr. Smith.
Yes. The roadway, is that going to be private or dedicated over?
That will be private. When Clearbrook 1 was established, as I call it, the Homeowners Association is going to be taking over that roadway. Currently, because of the status of Clearbrook 1, the Homeowners Association of Clearbrook 1 has not been established yet, and they have not taken over ownership of Foxtail Court yet. So technically our client still is responsible for the maintenance of that roadway. It is a private street, it's not a DLDOT maintained roadway, does not have a DLDOT maintenance assigned to it. This road will be a private street, will be maintained by the developer until the Homeowners Association is established to take over the maintenance of the roadway.
So that will be reflected in your HOA?
Yes, and I believe that's also covenants. Mentioned in the covenants and restrictions that were provided.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No other questions. All right, sir.
It's not part of Clearbrook, so this is another subdivision.
This is Clearbrook Acres Phase 2. I guess we're calling it Clearbrook Acres 2 is actually the name of the subdivision. It's not a part, it's not a parcel, which was a portion of Clearbrook 1.
And where's the outfall for the stormwater management?
All that, the results were extremely favorable for the soils. We had tested infiltration rates by JCM Environmental of 210 inches per hour, which is actually 3.5 inches per minute. So that's one of the reasons we were able to reduce the stormwater management area. We had originally allotted just over an acre for stormwater management when the original application was made. But when we found those results, we couldn't send out water fast enough. There actually is a drainage easement here, 40 foot wide, adjacent to the Indian Village subdivision. We've actually gone out and we've had a survey in that area and we've taken photos. There's an existing drainage ditch there. It appears to be somewhat abandoned. It's graded as a swale, but there's been some dumping. You know, people have thrown trash in it and so forth. It doesn't seem to be too functional, but then again, it may be functional, and it may just be dry all the time as a function of the same type of soil results that were tested on the site. But there technically is no outfall for the stormwater management. Everything is infiltrated in the ground. The 2, 10, 100-year storm that we're required to design to, for Denrex standards, everything is infiltrated. So there will be an emergency spillway in the basin to that ditch as an emergency overflow in the case that, you know, we were to have some type of nor'easter blow through a 500-year storm event, something similar that we experienced earlier this summer. In that case, it may be necessary, but the results were extremely favorable for the soils.
All right, sir, thank you. Mr. Lank?
No, I have no questions.
Gouts?
No questions.
Mr. Robertson?
No questions.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Murray. We'll take a seat. We'll see if there's anybody here with an interest in your application. Is there anybody here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-77 Chesapeake Construction? Is there anybody here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-77? Anybody on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to remain with us for the balance of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Gentlemen, that completes our public hearings for the evening. Referring back to our first public hearing was conditional use 1668, Carl M. Klink III and Melanie Klink.
Just be glad Mr. Johnson wasn't here. I mean, not that it was him, but we one more commissioner and we'd be here till 12:30.
Mr. Chairman, regarding conditional use number 1668, my motion is for deferral.
Second. Moved and seconded to defer action on to conditional use 1668. Carl M. Klink III and Melanie Klink. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next item is conditional use 1716, Andrew Lubin.
Mr. Chairman, I move to defer CU 1716, Andrew Lubin, to give Mr. Johnson, which is in his area, time to listen to the record.
Second. The move and seconded to defer action on conditional use 1716, Andrew Lubin. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next item is subdivision 2005-68, Sandy Landing, LLC.
Mr. Chairman, regarding subdivision number 2005-68, my motion is for deferral.
Second. So moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2005-68, Sandy Landing, LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is subdivision 2005-74, Delmarva Woodlands Alliance 4, LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move to defer subdivision 2005-74, Delmarva Woodlands Alliance 4, LLC, in order for Mr. Johnson to listen to the record.
Second.
We moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2005-74, Delmarva Woodlands Alliance 4, LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is subdivision 2005-75, Top Drawer, LLC.
On this one, I think you ought to leave the record open for like a week just to get those plus comments responses in.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I move to defer subdivision 2005-75, Top Drawer, LLC, and leave the record open for 7 days for comments from the applicant on the plus comments.
Second.
So moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2005-75, Top Drawer, LLC, leaving the record open for a period of 7 days for the receipt of the applicant's comments on the plus comments. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. The next item is subdivision 2005-76, James H. and Dorothy M. Bailey.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, regarding subdivision 2005-76, James H. and Dorothy M. Bailey, I move that we grant preliminary approval to that subdivision based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. And being the proposed subdivision is in an MR district as established by the 1997 Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan that encourages low-density single-family homes on lots greater than 3/4 acre. Subdivision is in compliance with the county subdivision code and promotes the orderly growth of the county. The subject property is in an area where other residential development exists with lots of similar sizes and densities. This subdivision will be in character with the surrounding neighborhood. This approval is subject to the following conditions, them being there shall be no more than 8 lots within the subdivision, excluding the lots where the 2 existing homes are located. Through restrictive covenants, the applicant shall form a homeowners association responsible for the maintenance of the roadway, buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas.
stormwater management and erosion and settlement control shall equal or exceed all applicable state and county regulations. The lot shall be served by individual wells and septic systems. As stated by the applicant, trees shall be preserved to the fullest extent possible. This shall be referenced on the final site plan. Street naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. And finally, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Just one comment on that. Since it's MR, they can actually build it down to, what, 10,000? 10,000 square foot lots.
If they had central sewer.
Yeah, for the central sewer. So.
But they're talking about central. But he's.
Yeah, and there was on site, right.
That would be a half acre.
So that would be a half acre. 20,000.
There's a motion on the floor, gentlemen. Second. Okay, we have a second. Moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2005-76 James Yates and Dorothy M. Bailey for the reasons stated. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next public hearing was subdivision 2005-77 Chesapeake Construction.
So is this an extension of?
No, it's not. I mean, it's adjacent to, but okay. Not.
It's not truly an extension.
Yeah.
Extension of the street system.
Yeah, the street system, I guess.
But it's an extension.
I don't think you're going to notice the difference driving through, are you?
Yeah, I'm looking at whether it was.
Well, the issue is that they have to have 51% of the.
Tell you what, being the late hour of it.
Let's just
defer and I'll look at it. Lawrence.
I didn't see a list of them.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I move to defer subdivision 2005-77 Chesapeake Construction for further consideration.
Second.
To move and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2005-77 Chesapeake Construction. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Gentlemen, that completes our agenda for the evening. Mr. Blank, do you have anything you wish to share with the group?
I just want to pass down a revised agenda. It's a revised agenda for the meeting tomorrow at 1. We added some the presentation of the consultants. They had sent us something, and Hal Godwin, assistant administrator, asked that it be included in under one of those items. It's not a new item. It's just an expansion of. And we also need to set us. So that's just for copy for everybody. We also need to establish a time, place for a special meeting to do site plans in November.
Okay, our regular meetings are when and when?
16th and 16th and 30th, I believe. I don't have a calendar with me.
Yeah, it is 16th and 30th.
Yep. 16th and 30th, and then Thanksgiving is Thursday, so you're not going to want to do it on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, are you?
And Friday's closed. We're closed also on Friday. We're closed on the
Returns Day and Election Day.
Election Day, Returns Day, and Veterans Day.
And the Wednesday before Returns Day is not good with everything going on in the circle. And
yeah, you couldn't even get in, probably. So it's too early anyway. We got to schedule.
Let's do it on a Tuesday then. Let's do it on the Tuesday.
That might be a council meeting night. I'm not sure what that date is.
When's our meetings?
Well, it's the 16th.
When's their night meeting?
First, wouldn't it? When's their night meeting?
It's usually the second.
It's all messed up this month.
The whole month's messed up because of all the holidays.
Yeah.
But typically, the second Tuesday is the night the council meets.
Well, if they meet at night, well, we meet at 3 o'clock.
Well, that's right. Daytime is true.
Right.
They start at 6:30.
They meet on the 14th.
We meet on 16th and 30th.
How can you tell?
The 20th, what is it? The
yeah, the 14th is the night meeting.
14th night meeting?
Yeah, that's the only time they meet.
That's the only time they meet all month.
Yeah. How come we got three meetings and they got one?
Well, let me ask you another question. Do you want to do it at a different time? The day, we don't want to do it the day before Thanksgiving, right?
Yep, you have. Well, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't think so.
What about the Tuesday?
Doesn't matter to me, but I'm just saying, if it's early.
You're saying Tuesday you got council meeting that day.
Well, let's see. Thanksgiving is what date?
23rd.
The 23rd and 24th are taken.
What about
council doesn't meet on 22nd?
And they don't meet the first Tuesday of the month either.
Well, that's only next week. That's like a week away.
That's not gonna go enough.
So on the 22nd, then, or 21st, rather. 21st. That's a Tuesday, right?
That the Thanksgiving week Tuesday?
Is there no council meeting that week?
No.
No. 21st. November.
November 21st at
3 o'clock.
Sure, yeah. Unless you want earlier. Saturday. I don't really want any later.
21st,
3 o'clock. I like it when it's during work hours.
Well,
for me.
It works for me simply because I'd like to be done by 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I know.
Well, typically we are.
Yeah.
Tuesday the 24th, 3 o'clock.
Tuesday the 21st at 3 o'clock. Is that all right?
Yeah, okay. Fine.
We got to start having some of these meetings during the day. Do the opposite of
council. I'll tell you what, this was the agenda that didn't look that bad. I knew the Sandy Cove might be a problem, but we had seven. We only had, we had seven. We had seven public hearings.
What did you think we started at 4 o'clock?